It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
I'm so glad you joined me today on the Amber May Show. It's been a wonderful year for me, and I hope it's been a good year for you. I know myself, I've been through several rough years in a row. And it finally feels good to be at the end of the tunnel and in a good place. And I pray that you are in that situation too. And if not, I want you to know you can hold steady, because you will get through it and good times will be coming. I can promise you that. The Bible says, the sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that basically means whatever you're going through right now isn't going to last forever. And joy will come to you. I've just had such a great year. I became a mother. And if you followed my show for any length of time, you've known I've struggled with that. And in 1 Samuel it says, for this child I have prayed. And that is true for myself. I have prayed for that child. And a lot of women in the Bible had infertility problems. Several could not conceive, and then God gave them a miracle baby. And that's what I consider my child, a miracle baby. Last month of pregnancy, I was in the hospital. That's why I haven't had that many shows, because I was hospitalized, and then I got out of the hospital. I'm very sick, and I had to, you know, take care of my health, because I had to take care of my baby. And I also want to be an encouragement to any person out there that wants to have a child. Keep praying is the only thing I can tell you. It took me about 6 years before I was able to have my own baby. And I want to give you hope that you guys will be able to have your own child. Just hold fast. For this child I've prayed. Read 1 Samuel. Read Numbers. Not the book of Numbers, but read a number of women in the Bible. Sarah. Even Elizabeth had a baby in her old age, and Sarah had a baby in her old age, and Hannah had a baby, and there was a lot of barren women in the Bible, and God did answer their prayer. And some of my friends I have found had infertility problems, and they wanted nothing more to be a mother, and God did bless them with a baby. However, it didn't come from them. Some other woman held and took care of their baby in their womb. And after delivering for 16 hours, I was thinking about my friends and thinking how lucky they were. They got to experience all the joy without the pain. I would have done that all over again for my daughter. But with adoption, it's beautiful, because God placed your baby into someone else. And the whole situation is beautiful, about how you find your child and the lessons you learn and the lessons you can share. And I understand the cost of adoption, because I looked into it myself, and the cheapest I found was $10,000 for one baby. I think it's terrible that it costs so much for people, loving parents, to take their babies and bring them home to them. But I want to assure you that if you pray, God will provide somehow, some way, a child just for you. The other joyous thing that happened to me was my sister got married. I am so thrilled for her. There's nothing better than knowing that your sister found her best friend and is going to be happy the rest of her life. It's an amazing, amazing journey. And you know what? They did everything the right way. They waited till marriage to consummate. They didn't live together. And, you know, stats say if couples live together prior to marriage, they have a higher rate of divorce. And we have seen several couples live together before marriage. And the rate of divorce is still really high. So the idea of trying it out and to see how it's going to go, I guess, makes sense in your mind. But in reality, it really doesn't work. So I would encourage you guys, anyone out there, follow what the Bible says. Because if you follow what the Bible says, you're going to have a greater chance of having a happier life than just doing what you think is right. But enough with that soap opera. I wanted to go back to some of the lessons I've learned being a mom. And my child doesn't worry about food or shelter or anything like that. And she's being a constant reminder for me, because money is super tight, that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me more more than I love my daughter. He loves me and he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for us so that we can have eternal life with him in heaven. So he could take away all of our sins, past, present, and future, so we can have a relationship with him. And if he loves us that much, would he really let us hang out to dry and not provide a way of paying our bills, putting food on the table? By no means, because I love my kid so much I would do anything to make sure her needs are met. Wouldn't you feel the same about your children for those of you that have them? Wouldn't you do whatever it took to make sure that they had food in their stomach and shelter over their head and clothes on their back? Maybe it's not the ideal way, the way you would like to do it, but at least you provide the basic needs for them. Whether you're in a trailer, whether you're in an apartment, whether you have a really nice home, or maybe you had to downsize your home, or whatever the case is, at least you have a place for your kid to lay their head down where it's safe, and food to eat. Whether it's just peanut butter jelly sandwiches, maybe it's not steak and lobster like you'd like to provide. But if it's at least a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you've provided food for them. I mean, us as parents want to provide the best for our kids, and I totally get that. And God wants to give us the best, too. He doesn't want to give us scraps. And if you look at your kid can teach you a lot about how much God loves you. And how much you can't understand until you become a parent of how much your parents love and adore you. Even though sometimes you think, man, they don't love me, or man, they're on my last nerve, or why are they always bothering me? I don't know. You just can't understand your parents' love until you become a parent. There's just no way to explain how much you could love one person so much. And I'm glad that God gave us the ability to have children, because that gave us an insight into how much he loves us. And more I look at my daughter, the more and more I'm kind of realizing that I don't have to worry about tomorrow, just like Jesus says in Matthew, for tomorrow has enough worries of itself. And pray the Lord's Prayer, because God says he's going to provide for our daily needs. And also in Matthew it says, don't look out for tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Only worry about today. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to look out for today. And then I struggle with, God, do I tithe? I have just enough money to pay my bills. Do I tithe? And then God says, test me in this. Are you going to rob me? Test me in this. See if I will not pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room to contain it. All right, God, I'm going to send you my money, because I know this money is yours anyways. I wish sometimes it was like the taxes. We don't even get to see it. It could go straight to God, straight to the church. Because that is something that we all struggle with, especially if you are parents, or the world, the way it is everything's going up except wages. So everyone's really trying to stretch their penny. And sometimes it's really tempting not to give to God. Then I have to think, okay, God, this is your money. It's not even mine. It's yours. And you said you're going to take care of me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but somehow you will. And then it's just so crazy how things come about and how he takes care of us. I know when I was in the hospital, I had friends bless me so much with cooking food for us, and they put it away in our freezer. So we had food, and I had food for 2 months, which is good because I've been so sick. And we just ran out of that food. So now I have to start going to buy. But that was such a blessing because A, our income went down, and 2, I was sick. I couldn't really cook. It was hard to get out and about. So that was a big blessing that God provided all those women to provide for my family food. He sent friends to help me clean my house when I couldn't clean my house to bring my newborn baby home. He gave us blessings by giving us gifts and provided every single need our child would have with the gifts. You don't just know where the job, where the next blessing will come from. Maybe you're going to get an overtime at your job. Maybe you're going to get a raise at your job. Maybe you're going to get a new job. Who knows where the blessing is going to come? But I just want to encourage you, look to your children this week and see if God won't speak to you through your child about revealing himself to you. Because God set up the family so he can reveal himself to us. That's why it's important to have a man and a wife together and united. You know, one thing that bugs me is there's churches that say, oh, this is a gay-friendly church. You want to know something? Every church is gay-friendly. I don't think of any church, and if they do kick you out for being gay, then they're really not a good church. Because a good church wants to bring all sinners into the house of God so that we can repent and be right with God. Everybody that's gay, that's straight, that's whatever. So if anyone kicks you out of the church because you're gay, then that's not right. Now, we each have to have God's standards when it comes to leadership in a church. And if you're not living a right life with God, then you have to really talk to yourself and talk to God and ask Him to bring you into a right relationship with Him. And He says this, here's a lie from the pit of hell that you're born this way. You're not born that way. God says you can transform by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is so powerful, so powerful. You know, I come across lesbians and a lot of them are so angry, like this lady at my sister. We were going to get our nails done, and this lesbian lady said the nastiest thing to my sister on her wedding day. If she didn't want to be happy for her, that's fine. Keep your comments to yourself. You don't have to be mean to someone who's getting married and is happy. If you're not happy, you don't have to be mean to someone like that. You know, maybe you're not happy with your life. Is that her fault? No, it's not. She didn't do anything to you. It wasn't very nice to say mean things to her on her wedding day. So everything can be changed. Your mind is so powerful. It can convince you to be sick. If you tell yourself you're sick, you can become sick. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can overcome obstacles. Look at people who lost their limbs and are now running in the Olympics and stuff. You can overcome so many things just by your mind. And God says that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're an alcoholic, you can be transformed by renewing your mind, you know, training your mind that you don't need the bottle to fix your problems, that God can fix your problems and that He wants to fix your problems. You can transform your mind by getting off drugs, that you don't need drugs. Drugs destroy you, but God Himself will not destroy you, and He wants to be your best friend. And if you have a sexual addiction, that you can transform your mind and you can have a right relationship with God. And if you are a homosexual, you can transform your mind and restore a right relationship with Him, because God wants to teach you Himself, and He does that through the family, through a husband-wife relationship, through a parent-child relationship. And He wants that for you, and He wants to reveal Himself to you, and He loves you so much. And if anybody out there tells you He doesn't love you and He hates you, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because He wouldn't have died for you. He loves you, and He died for you, and He thinks about you every single day. Every day. And there was nothing He wouldn't do for you. Just like nothing I wouldn't do for my daughter. There's nothing God wouldn't do for you. He wants to have a relationship with Him, but He's waiting for you to say, hey, I want a relationship with you too. I don't like the way my life is. And I know there's something better out there, but I don't know what it is and I can't find it. Well, reach out to God, because that better life is with Him. I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect and you're not going to ever have problems and you're not ever going to be sad, but at least He's going to help you through those sad times. And I'm a living testimony of it, because I've lost 3 babies and I've lost an uncle to cancer at a young age. I've had a lot of death and sorrow and hurt. My cousin committed suicide last year. He was my age. I mean, I know what it's like to hurt. And I know what it's like to have a God who walked me through it and helped me. And I want that for you too. So remember, instead of thinking about number one, yourself, think about number two, someone else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you.